Amen. Good morning, everybody. If you got your Bible, will you open it with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter. This will be the second week that we'll be on this subject in Ecclesiastes, and that is the subject of wisdom. I told you last week, is there a ring in the mic? Pull down the ring. Last week, I told you we'd be in this subject of wisdom in this chapter, but we're going to break it down into three sections and take it to where last week we saw how wisdom enabled us to handle the mysteries of life. This week we're going to see how wisdom brings stability to your life, okay? In the case this week, he's going to talk about when people speak about you. When you hear what people say about you, how do you handle that? How do you handle when people make comments that are directed toward you, okay? That's an area that we all have to learn how to handle. Some people can't handle it very well, and it causes instability. So we're going to take a good close look at how do we avoid those pitfalls, okay? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come before your throne of grace, and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your many blessings, and we pray, Lord, for this time that you would grant to us insight and understanding, that you would open your scriptures up to us and help us to understand them. Help me to teach them clearly and accurately and lay them out right before us, Lord. I do pray this, Lord. I thank you for all that you've blessed us with. Pray, Father, that what is said would be truthful and your Holy Spirit can make application individually as you see fit, and that everyone will leave from here better equipped to serve you and bring glory to you, Father, in all they do. For it's in Christ's name we pray, Lord. Amen. You look here, if you would, direct your attention to verse 19 of the 7th chapter, and it says, "Wisdom strengthens the wise more than 10 rulers of the city." Wisdom strengthens the wise more than 10 rulers of the city. Now, let's begin with, first of all, what does he mean by the word wisdom? What does wisdom mean? Wisdom means skill for living. That's what it means. Skill for living. Wisdom, biblical wisdom, is not the gathering of information or knowledge. It's not the same as knowledge. Wisdom is biblical truth that is applied to life, okay? Put it this way. Wisdom gives you insight into the realities of life. Okay? And that's very important. And look what he says about it. He says, wisdom strengthens the wise. Now, what does that mean? Wisdom strengthens the wise. Well, wisdom strengthens the wise. Who are the wise? The wise are the ones that apply wisdom to their life. The output or the product of that is going to be a strong, or if you will, stable life. Stable life. You're not going to stumble. Okay, when you rightly understand the world that you live in, and you understand it from a biblical viewpoint, not based upon what you think the world is, human perception, not based upon what other people tell you the world is, but when you understand the world as God says the world really is, then you're not surprised by what happens in the world. I'm not surprised at all by what happens in the world. I'm surprised that worse doesn't happen based upon what Scripture says and the way Scripture describes things. And so wisdom is the ability to rightly discern the world that you live in. Now, why is that important? It's important for this reason. most people approach life and approach the world that they live in, and they are gullible. They're gullible. And people of the world will take advantage of you. If you're a gullible person, okay? In other words, you believe things very easily, okay? And so one of the things wisdom does is wisdom will provide you stability. What do you need stability for? Well, he says, for there's not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. Also, do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. That's important. People are going to say things about you. And when people say things about you, it is going to influence or it's going to affect how you live your life unless you understand the world through wisdom. Okay? Now, what I wanted to do this morning, since I just have a few verses here, what I wanted to do, expound upon this and give you an understanding of how you should perceive the world. Okay? As a believer, you need to have clean insight and clear insight and accurate insight on how to view the world that we live in. And the reason being is that most people have a faulty worldview. You know what I mean when I say a faulty worldview? They have a faulty worldview, and in particular, a faulty view of mankind. Okay? How does the world, let's begin first of all, I'm going to show you what the Bible says about man, but how does the world view man? Let's start with that. The world views man as being basically good, okay? That's a fact. A recent survey that I saw said that 82% of the people in America in this survey said that man was basically a good being, that he was basically good. And that most people were good. Okay? That's the general view of the world. I thought that was awfully low. But then they had another category that said primarily good or completely good or something, and it took up about 8%. So there was only like 4% that said they didn't know, so there was only like 6 people that said, or 6% that said, man is basically evil, okay? And, of course, that group is the haters in the world. That's how the world would view them, okay? Because the world's general view of mankind is man is a good and benevolent being. That's basically how people view man, okay? Then that worldly wisdom goes like this also. What happens when someone does something evil? What about when someone does a heinous crime or an evil activity? They will say one of two things. That is a direct result, okay, of the environment that that individual lives in. His culture is what it is. Or, and culture can be his parents. They'll say, well, you got to understand, he was brought up by an alcoholic mother and an alcoholic father, and they didn't take good care of him, so he's naturally going to be like that. Or they'll say it's a medical condition. That's one of the newest things, to where today, every time something bad happens, it's either a direct result of society or it's a direct result of he's got a medical condition, okay? And he can't help it. Because, see, the newest thing nowadays is they take these psychological conditions and now all of a sudden they become medical conditions. This person is medically unfit. And so when someone does something heinous, they say, oh, it's horrible that he did that. Well, it's really not his fault because of his upbringing or because he has this medical condition. He bumped his head when he was a little kid, and as a result of that, he has these little fits that he has, and these kind of things happen. Folks, that's how people, the majority of people, view the world. Man is not evil. Now, what you've got to understand is, what does the Bible say about mankind? Is man a product of his upbringing? Let me put it to you like this. I can show you, these people say, well, he's brought up by an alcoholic mother and father. I can show you people that are brought up in that same environment that are perfectly normal. So I'm telling you, it's a decision that a person makes. And as rough as that may be for some of you this morning, that's the reality of it. We are a product of the decisions. Now, there are a lot of influencing factors, and I won't deny that. I'd be a fool to stand up here and deny that. But ultimately and finally, it's the decisions that we make. You realize there are some people in life that go through life as failures because when they were a little kid, their parents told them they were worthless. And they believe that. And they'll say, well, I've always been told I was worthless. I guess I'm just worthless. I'm going to show you how to get out of that trap today. How you set yourself free from that. Let's take, what is a wisdom, what does wisdom say about man? In other words, what does Revelation say? What does God say about man? First point is this. We live in a fallen world. Okay? Now that's been a truism throughout this look at Ecclesiastes. What that means is everything in the world that we live in is affected by sin. Humans are affected by sin. Plants are affected by sin. Animals are affected by sin. Sin affects everything in the created order that we live in. When Adam fell in the garden, when he chose to sin against God, not only did Adam experience sin, but as the federal head of creation, having been appointed dominion over creation, it plunged the whole creation into sin. And so sin affects everything in our creation. That's point one. Point two is that man himself is inherently sinful. Okay? Man himself is inherently sinful. Now, two primary ways we are sinful. Number one, we have Adam's sin. As a direct result of Adam sinning in the Garden of Eden, we're offspring of Adam, down the line, of course. We're offspring, but we inherit the sin that Adam had. On top of that, we commit personal sin. In other words, I commit acts of sin by my own decision, okay? Not a result of my environment, not a result of a medical condition. I do it simply because I choose to. Now, let's look at what the Bible says about man. Look at Mark chapter 7. Look with me in the 7th chapter of Mark, or some say the Gospel of St. Mark. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verse 20. Now, let me back up, verse 18. This is Jesus speaking. He said to them, "Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods?" And he said, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within," you need to block, underline, star that word. It doesn't say, "for from society." Far from culture. It says far from within. Out of the heart of man. That's where evil comes from, folks. This is what Jesus Christ is saying. Out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. That's a pretty complete list right there. Where does that come from? Out of the heart of men. It's important to look at words and what words he's using. Jesus said, out of the heart of man is where that stuff comes from. Look with me, if you would, at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Romans 3:10. Romans 3 and 10. Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, and that includes you. There is none. Y'all don't have that part in your verse? There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. Let me pause right there. Another false view of the world is that people are seeking after God. What does the Bible say? There is none who seeks after God. They have all gone out of the way. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's a pretty bad list right there too. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in the first verse. And you he made alive, who... And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. He says, in our unredeemed state, we were children of wrath. We were just like those others. What are we now? We're children of God. But we still have that sinful nature to us, that sinful mind at times, right? Sinful flesh, let me put it to you that way. Psalm 51:5, David said, in iniquity did my mother conceive me. What that means is, David says, I was born with sin. I was born a sinner in the world. So if you see from the Bible, looking at all these verses, and we could give more, you would draw the conclusion that man is sinful and man is evil because the heart of man is evil and the heart of man is sinful. Agree or not? I think that's pretty clear in Scripture. So you have the philosophy of the world that says man is basically good, and you have the revelation of God, which says man is evil. And he's evil because his heart is evil. So that's the second point in the statement. First one is, we live in a fallen world. Second thing is, man is inherently sinful or evil. The third point is this. The world believes the lie. Okay? The world believes the lie. What do I mean by that? The world believes that man is good. Okay? That's what the world buys into. So, the world is fallen and broken. Man is inherently evil. And another given in the equation is man or the world believes the lie. Now, why does the world believe the lie? 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 says the whole world lies in the lap of the evil one. So there's deception, okay? Let's look at the verse. You won't think I'm making this up. 1 John 5:19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one, or the influence, or the deception. So what does that tell you? Even though you and I that are born again know the truth, we can still be deceived. Because the world lies in the lap of the wicked one. It's under the sway or the force of evil. Now, there's some people, even Christians, that deny the existence of Satan and the existence of evil in the world that we live in. But I'm just telling you what the Scripture reveals is that the world is under that influence. And if you deny there's evil in this world, then you're not dealing with reality, folks. This world is not progressively getting better. We're not in a millennial state. Things are not improving. Things are inherently evil and wicked, and they're progressing towards more wickedness. And it doesn't take a brilliant theologian to see that. It takes somebody that's willing to look at Scripture, look at the world we live in, and you'll draw the conclusion, this is not headed for a good ending. This is headed down the wrong road, it looks like. And so when you look at the Scripture, your third given in the equation is that the world chooses to believe the lie. You have got to see the world from God's point of view. That's what's important, okay? The fourth point is this. And the fourth point is, even your heart and my heart can deceive us and we know the truth. Okay? Understand that. Even your heart and even my heart can deceive us and we know the truth. Look at Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17 and 5. Look what Jeremiah says about mankind. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man. Boy, if you don't have that verse marked down, you need to. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. In other words, he'll have stability. That's the same thing Solomon's saying. But look at this next verse. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know what that tells you right there, folks? That your own heart, if you rely upon your own heart will deceive you too. Now, I've sat and flat out explained to people and made the statement to Christians that, you know, the Scripture teaches that man is inherently sinful, that every aspect of man's being is affected or tainted by sin, and that the thoughts and intents of the heart of man are only evil continually, what Scripture says. And they'll say, well, I just don't want to think that about people. I've had people tell me that straight in my face, said, you can believe what you want to, but I'm going to believe that people are good. I'm going to believe people are kind. I'm going to believe that people are right. And I'm going to live with a positive view of the world. I said, fine, you're living with a deceived view of the world. To deal with truth is not to be negative, folks. To deal with truth is to deal with reality. And people want to live in a fairy tale world. They want to live in a fantasy world. They want to live in a world of pretend and make-believe that everything is really good and it's going to head to a good direction and everyone is basically good and kind and nice. And that's what I'm going to believe. And that's how they deal with you and treat and respond to you and stuff like this. I'm like, people will in the face of truth, say, I'm going to believe a lie. I don't care what the Bible says. I believe people are really good. And if we all believe that, some kind of harmonic convergence is going to take place and people are going to suddenly be good. It's not going to happen. And if you believe that, let me tell you what's going to happen to you. You're going to be set up, and you're instead of dealing with the world in wisdom, You're going to be dealing with the world from human philosophy. And when you deal with the world from human philosophy and not wisdom, you're setting yourself up to stumble. You're going to be severely disappointed. You're going to be shocked when it happens. That's what he's telling us. He's saying, live the world in wisdom. Look at the passage in Ecclesiastes. Wisdom strengthens the wise. See, wisdom will give you strength when you apply it to your life. In other words, you can deal with the realities of life. And he says, it's better than 10 rulers of the city. And what does that mean, better than 10 rulers of the city? You could take the best rulers of any city, the most mighty, the most powerful, and surround yourself with them. And he says, wisdom applied to your life will give you more strength. It'll give you more security in life. But you've got to understand, from wisdom, you have to have a proper view of the world and of mankind. The nature of man is not good, folks. The nature of man is evil. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone out there that you deal with is going to be evil or bad, okay? Every day, every minute of the day that they're walking around with fangs and snarling and wanting to jump on you. But underneath there, it's there. Trust me. Okay? That's the nature of man. I'll give you a perfect example. Just like the nature of an animal. My daughter, my oldest daughter, has a little miniature pincher. And she'll take and at different times of the year put different outfits on that miniature pincher. She has little clothing for it and stuff. And Christmas time, she puts a little Christmas sweater on it and has a little one of them little Santa Claus hats on his head and stuff. And she goes, oh, look at Kiki, isn't she cute? And I said, yeah, sure is. And then she'll dress it up some other way and stuff. But you know, when you let that dog go, it'll run over and smell the rear end on another dog. Why does that dog do that? That's the nature of a dog. In a dog's world, that's on the top shelf, man. That's like my favorite things in life as a dog. Smelling other dogs' rear ends. That'd be right up there at the very top, man. Eating would be another one. I mean, that's their world. That's how they live. When my kids were little, our cat had kittens. I called the kids in there. My two oldest kids, I said, watch this. And these little kittens would come out in a sack, and that cat would tear that sack off and eat it and lick those kittens and clean them up and cut that umbilical cord. That cat had never been through birthing class. He had never, that cat had no degree, no nursing credentials or anything. And that cat could do that. How could that cat do that? That's the nature of a cat. Man is sinful, and his nature is naturally to sin. That's his nature. Jesus said, from within man proceed all these things. That's where it comes from. So biblical wisdom will tell you, understand man as the Bible says man is. Don't understand man through the philosophy of the world. Because, folks, I've seen it time and time again in penitentiaries and different places like this. We'll even have courts will call back to the prison and say, have you ever seen this guy do this? Have you ever seen the guy do that? Because there'll be some guy that's committed a crime and he's saying, well, I was retarded, or, you know, I was raised by bad parents and I was put in this type of environment and that's why I did all what I did, or I can't help what I did. That kind of stuff. And so, oh yeah, we see, he'll lie. Well, that'll tell you something. When someone will lie, that means they know they've done something that's bad and they're trying to cover it up. Even little children that have no education, that have no knowledge, at a very young age know how to do that. Why? That's the nature of man. Man's problem is not his culture. Man's problem is not his environment. Man's problem is his heart. That's where man's problem is. And man, every man, woman, and child living is responsible for the decisions they make in life, for the choices they make. That's what wisdom says. That's why when bad things happen, people say, oh, I can't believe that happened. I'm not shocked by it. I believe it. I believe way worse than that can happen. Way worse. Guy was showing me a thing. This guy committed a crime. He said, I can't believe, man, that someone do that. Can you? I said, yeah, I'm just surprised he didn't pour gasoline on them and burn their bodies after that was over. Ooh, that's even worse. And I said, well, I can tell you some lot worse things than that he could have done. I mean, man can go to levels that you can't even imagine, folks. That's the reality of mankind. And what Scripture is saying is, don't have a view of man that's basically good. Understand man from a biblical point of view. You understand that? And look at the next verse. Verse 20. For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. What does that tell you? It tells you that no matter how good we are, we're still going to make mistakes. Okay? And what's he doing? He's setting the stage for the next verse. What's he saying in the next verse? Also, do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. So what's he saying here? He's saying, approach the world from a viewpoint of wisdom, and you be very cautious in how you approach the world. Don't believe everything that you hear. Now, folks, that has two sides to it. Let's look at side one. Be careful when people heap praise upon you. Okay? That's the side we tend to like. Be very careful when people heap praise upon you. Let me read a passage to you out of the Proverbs. Proverbs 29 and 5. Proverbs 29, verse 5 says, a man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. Wisdom works as a filtering system. Now, let me give you a word to a wise to the young girls in here. Listen to me. Girls in the youth group, teenage girls, college girls, those that are older, listen. When a guy comes up and starts telling you stuff with his mouth, don't believe him. I'm serious. Don't fall for those silver-tongued devils. You wait and see what his actions are like. Words are meaningless. Okay? That's not my opinion. It says, and do not take to heart everything people say. The Bible is telling you to don't do that. One of the women are more geared emotionally, and so men can manipulate women through their emotions. And let me tell you how it operates. Let me just tell you. These old guys will look around for a girl who doesn't get praise from her father or doesn't get recognition from her family, and she has what society calls a low self-esteem. What the guy will do is he'll puff that old self-esteem up and he'll give her something nobody else has given her, and she mistakes that manipulation that he cares about me and he loves me. Therefore, I owe him. Don't do that. Don't be foolish. Do what the Scripture says. Don't believe everything that you hear. Guys, the same thing goes for you. Don't believe everything you hear. Wisdom serves as a filter, is what it does. Wisdom serves as a filter. Understand that sometimes people have ulterior motives in life. Why? Back to square one. Man is basically evil. Don't assume that people are good. Don't assume that. That is a foolish place to be. Okay? Now, having said all that, let me say this. There are times when people are going to give you criticism. There are times people are going to give you compliments. All I'm telling you is be discerning. Don't just be gullible. Wisdom will help you be discerning. Wisdom will help you draw a line in the sand, if you will. And the second part is this. Don't believe everything when people criticize you. Why? Look at what he says. He says, lest you hear your servant cursing you. What is the significance of that? Why does he put this little part in here about the servant? He means this, that even people you've done a lot for may turn around and tear you up verbally. A servant was totally dependent upon his master. Everything that servant had in his life came from his master. You mean he would turn around and curse his master? You mean that dog would bite the hand that feeds it? Yep. Yep. So who would be this? What would be equivalent to that? It'd be this. Don't be surprised if your kids speak out against you. Don't be surprised if those that are most dependent upon you will turn around and curse you. Why? Look at the next verse. For many times also your own heart has known that even you've cursed others. In other words, understand this. Man is basically evil, and if you let anger take control of your life, you will say things and you will do things that you'll regret. How many of them in here have ever said something? Don't raise your hand. How many in here have ever said something that you wish you could take back? Well, every one of us, if you're honest. Some of you are trying to look spiritual on Sunday morning. But if every one of us would be honest, we'd say, yeah, I've said some things before I wish I could take back. I said them out of anger. I said them out of frustration. I said them out of disappointment. I said them out of hurt. I said them out of all these different areas. You know what he's saying? Don't take to heart everything people say, and don't believe everything good they say about you. You know, there are people that live their life bound by what people have said about them. I'm not lying to you, folks. There are people that say that live because they were criticized as a young child. Someone told them, you'll never grow up to amount to anything. Or you're sorry, you're worthless, you're no good. And they've held on to that for years. And I'm talking about for years. And they'll let what some person says to them become the rule for their life. A coach, a teacher, a parent, a friend, a pastor. Someone said something, they're like, they said, I'd never amount to nothing. Let me give you a clue. You know what Solomon's saying? Don't take to heart everything people say. When they say good about you, don't believe that all the way. When they say bad, don't believe that all the way. Understand people are people. Understand that. And he says, once you get a grip on that, you're going to be fine. And he said, hey, when they say something bad about you, many times also your own heart is known that even you have cursed others. You know, the bottom line is this, folks. People have said some bad stuff about me, but I know a whole lot worse stuff that they don't even know about. And you do too. You do too. That's what he's saying. Yeah, it may be some truth in what they're saying, but I promise you, if they knew the rest of the story, they'd think I was way worse than that. I deal with that a lot of times, people. They'll come in for counseling and they'll say, Pastor, I did this or this. When did you do that? Oh, back when I was a young person in high school or in college or something. They'll be 30, 40, 50 years old. And I said, well, God's forgiven you of that. I said, let go of it and move on. But I can't believe I did that. I said, let me give you a little clue. You have thought way worse than what you've ever done. And I said, that's not bothering you. Why do you just your actions bother you? Why are you so selective? You know, because the Bible says God will judge you according to your words, thoughts, and deeds. What you say, what you think, and what you do. And I promise you, folks, you've thought way worse. Because you thought, boy, if I get my hands on them, I'd kill them. And you never act on it. And you never really intend to kill them, but you had the thought. And that's just as bad according to Scripture. But yet people aren't bothered by that. They're bothered by action. So let me give you a clue. Don't be bothered what people have said about your life. You know why? Let me give you a clue. Look in 1 John with me. 1 John chapter 5. If you're trying to catch a nap, I'll turn there for you. Just hang on. 1 John chapter 5, 4 and 5. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. What does that mean? Well, the world will tell you you're worthless, right? The world will tell you you're no good. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Are you a believer? Your faith can overcome the world. What does that mean? People tell you you're worthless, you're no good, you're sorry, and all this other stuff. Don't let that determine your life path. Because if you've been bought by Jesus Christ and His blood has covered your sin, you are a child of the King. And you need to live your life for the one that died for you. You need to quit letting some person be who you're trying to get approval from when you need to get your approval from God. And God has already accepted you. Don't limit what you can do in life by what people say. Live your life by faith, because Jesus, the Word of God says, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Your faith. Believe in godly wisdom. And what does godly wisdom tell you? Don't believe it when they brag on you. Don't buy into it when they curse you. Don't live your life to gain the approval of people. Live your life because you've been accepted by God, and God is the one that paid for all your sins. He's the one you have allegiance to. Live your life for Him and for His glory. And when you do that, you're going to be a good person towards other people. You know why? Because when you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, and soul, you'll love your neighbor as yourself. It will affect all relationships in your life. Hear me, young people. Don't let what some person said to you in your life direct your life. Don't buy into that. Adults, don't buy into that. Buy into this idea. God loved you and He laid down His life for your sin to deliver you from it. And fear of man, in other words, fear of what people think, will bring a snare to your life. It'll keep you from being what God wants you to be. Don't put yourself under the authority of what other people say. Set yourself free and put yourself under the authority of God. God says faith is the victory. Your faith will overcome the world. You're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus is what you are. That's why Solomon says, wisdom strengthens the wise. Be a wise person. Apply godly wisdom, biblical wisdom to your life, and live your life free from the critique of men. Now, having said that, let me say this. Criticism can be good, too. You understand that? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. In other words, you've got to determine, what's this person mean when they criticize me? When they're criticizing it. Some people are doing it for your good. Not all criticism is bad. I want to put that little caveat in there. Not all criticism is bad. But hear me on this, folks. Don't live your life defeated. If you live your life defeated, and you live your life based upon what your parents have said about you, or uncle, or family member, or coach, or someone, a teacher, or someone in your life, don't live your life like that. Live your life according to what God has said about you. Live your life in wisdom and get out of the bondage of others. That's what God wants you to live. You live your life with allegiance to God, not allegiance to man. That's what it means. Wisdom strengthens the wise. And wisdom is, I'm going to apply what God says about the world and about the place I live in, and not what human philosophy says, or not what human opinion says, or what human idea says, or what culture says, or what the popular trend says. I'm going to live my life to God because that's who I owe my allegiance to. And when you are free in the Lord, you're free indeed, brother. The Lord will set you free. Because the fear of man brings a snare. The fear of man, if you're afraid of what people think or you're afraid of what people say about you, you will forever live your life in bondage to people. And that's a voluntary incarceration. They're not doing it to you. You're doing it to yourself because you've chosen to believe it. Stop believing a lie and believe the truth. And let God set you free. Amen? Be free. Be free indeed. Love life. Enjoy life. Because God has died for your sin and set you free. And in the Lord, all things are possible with God. Go out and kick life in the rear and enjoy it. Amen? Live as a victor. Live as a conqueror. Live as someone that can take on life head on as a challenge. Because you serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you that through Christ we have freedom. That our life is not dictated by what others say. Our life is not dictated by what others think. But our life is to be lived for you. Lord, I pray for those of us that have allowed others to dictate or to set the parameters on our life, we confess that as sin today, Lord, that we've allowed others to do that. For we owe our allegiance to you and to you alone. And might we yield to you and you alone and live our life in accordance to wisdom. Father, we pray this. I pray, Father, for those that are here that have allowed that to control their life, Lord, that they'd be set free today. That they would humbly come before you and confess that they've allowed this to control their life. And, Lord, that they would confess it as sin and allow you to deliver them. Father, we pray this. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name, Lord. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation, and then we're going to have a baby dedication. And so join us as we do this. If you have prayer requests, I'll be down front with the elders. You can come pray with us. You can pray right where you are. But seriously, folks, make a decision in your life. You're going to live your life for the Lord. Not based upon what others have said. Not based upon what some fallen human being has said. Live your life according to what God says. And live in true freedom. Join us as we pray.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless prayer. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with message. take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at your feet, its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever
And you may be seated. We've got Kelly and Chris are coming this morning for baby dedication. Gabriel, which one's Gabriel? This is Gabriel right here. And this is Michael. And they're going to dedicate their little babies this morning. What we do in a... You excited, brother? What a baby dedication is recognize that Scripture says that children are a heritage of the Lord, okay? In other words, children are given to us as parents to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We are their guides while here on earth. Their living soul, living being, is going to be accountable to God when they reach whatever age God determines that to be. They're responsible for their decisions. So as parents, it's our responsibility to make sure we bring them up right. So what a baby dedication is that the parents are recognizing that these children were given to them by God, and they're recognizing God for that, asking for God's guidance. And so what we do is we dedicate these babies to the Lord that they want to dedicate to bring them up that way, and then you as a church body support them in that. So what we'll do is the elders will gather around here, and we'll pray for them. And I'm going to pray here, so you pray along with us as we do this, okay? Father God, we come before you. And Lord, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we thank you for this decision that Chris and Kelly are making with their children. And we lift these children up to you, Father. We pray for Gabriel, and we pray for Michael. We pray, God, that they be brought up in a godly home, that they would have a godly influence from both parents, and that, Lord, that you would even begin right now to prepare whoever their mate may be out there, that little girl would be brought up in a godly home, and that her parents are taking her down the same pathway and preparing her for these little boys, Lord. We do pray. We pray, God, that you give both these parents the wisdom and the insight and the courage to do what is right as parents, to do what is best for their children, to do what is in accordance with your word, that you be glorified. And they recognize, God, that you've given us these children to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And their prayer and our prayer as a church body is that they will. And we as a church body stand with them with this commitment and stand here to help offer them guidance and assistance along the way, and whatever that may be. Thanking you, Lord, for all you've done. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.